In November's municipal election, Jess Sweeney was the only newcomer elected to the nine-person North Adams, Massachusetts City Council. Sweeney is also the creative director of Common Folk, an artist collective with a store and studio on Main Street. She spoke with WAMC about what led her to seek public office and what her priorities are for 2020 and beyond.
I am very active in the city and throughout different projects. And in my work, since I graduated college, you know, I started a teen center, I started Common Folk, and I started to see that I was very deeply connected to a younger demographic, which I don't see represented on city council. And so that was a really big inspiration for me to run, was just that I think young people have a really valuable voice and that needs to be heard and represented and thought about in these any decisions that are made for a city. But then also because of how active I was, I felt like it was just, I was sort of already doing a lot of the work, and so I might as well run, you know. I'm not someone who generally loves politics, but I feel that it's really important to be engaged in local politics, you know. I think there's a lot of things going on in our sort of national stage, and I have a lot of ideas to make change on a local level, and that's where it starts. It starts locally, you know.
So let's get into those things. What specifically is on your agenda in the city council?
My biggest thing is, you know, to get more people engaged. I want to see more people participating in local government, maybe going to meetings or at least paying attention to meetings. And I see that starting to rise. But my main focus, you know, that's not really like a council change, is to reinvigorate the Youth Commission. Because I think that there are a lot of young people in this city who have a lot to say about what's happening in the world, and really care about change and really care about their futures or worried about their futures. And I think they have a really great opportunity to represent a younger demographic in the halls of City Hall.
On that note, you know, when you're going out and campaigning, what were you hearing from people that you want to bring to City Hall?
I have a lot of different conversations with a lot of different people. So it's hard to put that all into one change, right? Because I didn't really personally get a sort of consistent theme. A lot of people have a lot of ideas. You know, some people would like to see better organization of our city services. Some people would like things like the parking ordinance shifted or changed. So I don't feel personally that I have yet to really develop what that thing is. I think the Youth Commission is something that a lot of people were really behind that I talked with them about. And so that seems like a really good place to start. But being new to City Council, I really don't feel I have yet to have the full picture. There's still a lot that I have to learn, that I have to understand about this whole process. So for me, really learning and understanding, you know, this isn't just like I'm running for 2 years so that I get a little bit more clout in the community. I'm running because I don't have to run anymore. I'm there because I really care about the city and I want to be a part of those decisions. And so I still have a lot to learn and figure out about what can be changed, what should stay. So that's my main goal for the next 2 years.
So you touched on this, but you're basically the only actual newcomer for this new incarnation of the city council. What do you want to do to get prepped for the role? Are there structures in place you can rely on to train to get into shape for this, so to speak? What's on your list for that?
I have had some really great mentors throughout this whole process. Current Councillor Josh Moran has been really helpful, and you know, we sort of every step of the way, he's helping to lay out the path forward and what to expect and what I should be doing. So I feel like I already have really strong mentors at my side to help me with that, and they've certainly made suggestions of other people to reach out to. I'm certainly trying to read as much as I can and attend city council meetings and just keep talking with people. That's sort of my main focus.
So looking into this new session and looking to 2020, what do you think the biggest challenge that the city's going to have to deal with in the coming year?
I believe that our biggest challenge will be to think about inclusive redevelopment. I think the big G word, gentrification, is a hot topic right now in North Adams. There's a lot of really great development and a lot of really great things moving forward, but there is a lot of fear around people being displaced and not being or feeling welcome here anymore. And so I think, and I don't even think that that's just a 2020 thing. I think that's a long-term thing that we really have to be discussing and making sure that, you know, we have a spectrum of opportunity for people and it doesn't just become one end of the spectrum versus the other. So I think that and doing that work now is really crucial, right? You don't want to retroactively have to deal with that. You don't want to redevelop so fast and so quickly that you have to like go back and try and make the community or resources available to people. You want to do that in the beginning. So I think it's really great that there's a lot of work, mostly some grassroots efforts to have those conversations and figure out how we all do that together. How do we welcome these big developments and also support grassroots developments and independent businesses and thriving here?
So you're obviously a downtown business owner. You're speaking here in your shop right on Main Street in North Adams. Some have said that development's been a little slow and there's still too many, you know, unoccupied businesses and living spaces in downtown North Adams. As someone who, you know, has a foot in the game, so to speak, what are your thoughts on that?
I have a lot of thoughts about downtown development, actually. I think we have more to do downtown than we did when I moved here in 2007 as a student. When I moved here, I didn't feel connected to downtown. And that grew over my time I spent at MCLA. But there was just less for me to do. There wasn't a common folk space where I could come and do art and connect with people. There wasn't the green. There wasn't Ramuntos, you know, I think change is really hard for a lot of people, but I see a lot of growth in downtown that has happened. I think that moving forward, we have to have a conversation about, and I said this in a forum at Hilo, we have to be thinking about traffic flow, and I don't mean vehicle traffic flow, I mean people traffic flow. So one thing that we've noticed here in Common Folk is I've been really diligent about tracking our visitorship. So we have a log where like every hour we track how many people come into the space. And on the weekends, we're open until 8 p.m. And in the spring, I haven't done the summer numbers yet. I'm working on that actually in the coming month. We saw 30% of our traffic after 4 p.m. and nothing else was open. So I also work at Bright Ideas. I'm a bartender there. And I notice that 4, 5, 6 o'clock, people leave Mass Mocha. They're done visiting for the day. They come either to AOK or Bright Ideas, you know, get some food. Or they don't want that for food. They want something a little bit, they want more options. So they come down downtown. What's open for them to do besides eat, right? Like that's a perfect time to capture people who are coming downtown is when they are going to eat. We have people who walk right by here and they're like, oh, there's a store. Let's pop in for a second. I think we have to be thinking about that flow. And I think we have to be thinking about what people want to buy now and how that, you know, and the model is interesting, right? We have a unique advantage here at Common Folk because we have a studio and we have other things that people can do in this space. So we don't fully rely on our retail, right? Retail is really strong and that is helpful and that certainly helps sustain us. But we also have events and other ways that we attract people. Not every retail business can do that, obviously. We also have work trade. So we don't have the employee expenses that most places would have because people are offsetting, they're using the space in other ways. So, you know, rather than pay a studio fee, they're helping out to keep the store open. And in a way, it's sort of set up as this small co-op, right? Like everyone's selling their work, they're coming in to sell their own stuff. So there's a lot of advantages we have in that, but those are the kinds of things I'm interested in developing. Because now, you know, if you look at our store, we have 25 vendors. Those are all potentially future stores, right? Like those are so in a way we've become this incubator. How do we create more incubators like that in the downtown? How do we encourage people to share space and share resources? Because there are ways to do that and people will support it. And then it relieves the financial burden of maintaining your own store when you can share it with someone. So that's something that I'm really interested in terms of downtown development. I see why people think that it's happened slow, but I think slow growth is so important because slow growth brings us to a sustainable place. If you grow too fast, then you have a higher risk of crashing. And that's something I've experienced in developing Common Folk. You know, we opened this store a year ago, but we've existed for 7 or 8 years. Like we have tried a lot of different things and slowly built ourselves from like we are so grassroots. It's kind of crazy how we've been able to get here. You know, we haven't depended on investor money or grants or any of that. We've done it all on our own. But also now that we're here and in this space, I see us in a very strong space in our development, and I look at that on a city level, and for me, as much as it can be frustrating and how, you know, I want more things to do downtown, it's okay for that to happen slowly because it means that hopefully it'll stay. You know, I see a lot of stores pop up and then like 6 months later they've popped out and maybe they've tried too fast or, you know, invested too much money in the beginning, and I think slow is okay, personally.
So the beginning of your tenure in city government will also coincide with the beginning of the second term of Mayor Tom Bernard. I'm interested, what is your impression of his performance to date? Are you looking forward to working with him? Do you have any criticism of his handling of the city business? Walk me through that.
I have a great relationship with Tom Bernard. You know, he's really excited about the Youth Commission. It's something that we were already talking about before I decided to run. You know, I think running a city is challenging, and I'm not always going to agree with the decisions he makes. I think, you know, there's always places that you can improve. But I look forward to that challenge. I think that challenge is healthy, and, you know, it's certainly a job that I'm running for city council, but I don't think I would want to necessarily be in his position. It's really hard. It's constant criticism. But overall, I think that he is driving things in a really good direction. And the biggest thing that I really appreciate about him is that he is really engaged with a lot of grassroots and nonprofit activity that happens in North County. Something that I was really fearful of in the transition of Alkenbright to, you know, Bernard or whoever it would have been, is that I felt like the network and collaboration of our community was really, really strong through Alkenbright's time. And I was nervous about that fracturing. And I think he's very, very much maintained that, you know, because he's a big piece of that. The mayor's position in the city is a big piece of keeping the local community engaged and supported. And I think he has done that well. I think he still continues to empower the community to take on, you know, the parts of city growth that they need to take on. And I think that there's been a lot of good development while he's been there. So overall, I feel really good. Certainly a mayor I'd like to work with. Yeah.
So I'm interested, you know, you're here doing this very grassroots, you know, community-oriented arts project in the same city that is home to Mass MoCA, this massive figure in the national and international art scene. I'm interested, what's your take on the city's relationship with Mass MoCA? You know, often it's metonymous to people outside of the region. They're like, oh, you know, North Adams, it's where Mass MoCA is. You know, what do you think that dynamic is like?
That seems to be pretty healthy, too. I think Mass MoCA is a huge driver of our economy, and I think that Mass MoCA gets a lot of slack for not achieving what people thought it would. And I think that it achieves it in more ways than we necessarily see. I would say the same thing that I said with the mayor. I think there's always room for improvement. I think, you know, to pull the hot topic out of the bag, I think the pillar debacle with the murals was a disappointing moment in our history that I think could have been handled very differently than it did. But that's as someone who's worked on larger public arts projects, like it's a huge gray area. That's all, you know, that is the hard part about working in the arts, is those kinds of moments. Because for a lot of different reasons, there's probably room for a whole other interview for public art, because it's a challenging thing to manage and support. So, you know, what I've seen that I think is great is, like, in those moments, something good has come out. So right now we have a public arts commission. Great. So, like, we have this sort of communication challenge that happened, and now we have something to help solve that, or, you know, at least mediate that through those kinds of things through the future, and effectively process those kinds of moments. I think there's a lot of people who really resent Mass MoCA, and it's always disappointing to hear, because I don't think everyone really sees the amount of industry that exists in a building like that, right? Like, if you aren't involved with the arts, it is really easy to look at art and think it's something you just hang on a wall, like, you know, hammer a nail, put the piece up. And when I go in there, and I have so many friends there, we have so many members here, common folk who are Mass MoCA employees. I'm friends with a lot of the security guards and the box office people, and have great relationships with a lot of the administrative folks. And when I walk into that building sometimes, like, there are people building walls. There are people, like, an installation in there requires a lot of manual labor. Maintaining the, you know, I walk into Bright Ideas and there's a whole cleaning crew cleaning the whole building. Like, there's so much more manual labor and similarities to that kind of work that I don't think people see, that are great, you know, that those are jobs. Those are jobs we need in our community. So it always interests me, because I feel like a lot of people who don't see the value of MoCA, like, want sort of, you know, Sprague to come back, and it's like, well, it's in a way, it's kind of there, and it's not what, you know, it's Mass MoCA isn't hiring the same amount of people that Sprague did, but the same kind of work actually exists in the arts, and I think that's why the arts can thrive here. And if we were able to have this conversation of seeing that overlap, I think that would be really interesting. It's something I would like to see more often. I think a lot of people still see that, but I know there's a pretty good contingency of people who don't like it.